This is Pastor John, and I'm just so glad that you could drop by today. We are going to have, the staff should be meeting with me today for a webcast later on. It's Thursday, June the 11th, 2009. And you know, the question may be on many of your hearts. So what happened to your fellowship, John? Why do you have to home church? Well, nothing happened. And that's why I thought that I'd take a little time out of the office and do this, because nothing really happened. It didn't. Usually when you are displaced from a church, you either tick somebody off, or there's a church fight or another split and stuff like that. No, nothing like that. Just let me say this, that I've, since my departure from being in an organized church and being the pastor of one of those back in 1997, whenever there's a large amount of people, or this is just my own personal view, I'm not saying that any other view of large people is not the biblical view. I don't believe in babysitting people for years, over and over and over and over and over, trying to make them Christians. I really don't. I think that let me give you a prime example of what I'm talking about, and then you'll understand why I like the home church effect. Now, first of all, let me thank the people that came out Sunday, because, you know, I told them, you're going to be filmed on this special thing, and I'm not going to put them up on the internet all the time. I just want you people at home to see the way it looks. You're not, when you're home churching, when you're having church in the home, you're not going to have a lot of people come out. It's going to be smaller groups. And in most cases, they're going to be a far more serious group than when you got a whole bunch of people just showing up in church that's not even saved anyhow. Or they're showing up in church to pay attention to the Bible teacher, you know, to lavish praise upon him, to buy him a new home, a new car. You know, well, you know the way the drill goes. But you should come and hear my pastor. I hear that they got now the MVP, the most valuable pastor. There's no such thing. That's the most ridiculous hoax that I've ever heard of in my life. And I hope that nobody ever puts me down as their favorite person. That would be despicable to me, as Bugs Bunny would say. There is no favorite pastor. And also, I've been working in the office. It's about 12:36 in the afternoon on Thursday. I've been working in the office for a few hours, trying to work with my new editing deal on a computer that I have to put up some HD portions and to edit those on this new system that I have. So on Church in the Home Part 3, that will be under a newer format. And I'd like to read your comments or hear your comments about that also. So a lot of office work. The school semester is over. Let me report this and say that it was one of the finest times that I've had in my life of teaching students. I've had Korean students, white, Hispanic, blacks, Asian. It was just a great time teaching those three classes in Harbor College this semester. I think they have me coming back for one class, for two, but one may be canceled because the attendance is down and they got to cancel some of the classes. So, you know, I'll probably lose a class there, but then I'll be teaching at two colleges, so I'll be across town. Yeah, I'll be across town, and but that should be interesting. But I'm grateful to God. I'm grateful to God for what he's doing in my life. And let me get back to this. What happened in the church anyhow? You know, I like to think about the church the way it was. I got a email from my young English brother, the young Calvinist. He's really upgraded his website, and It's a fine little website. And he wrote me an email and said that that it's a great series on the house church, but that he believes that that in England that they go to a conventional church and it's a nice Reformed church. Well, that's wonderful. And I believe that there are a few buildings that are opening every Sunday morning and during the week, you know, where people are truly serving God. I mean, that's a wonderful thing. They're preaching God, you know, they're preaching the Word of God. They're preaching the gospel. But here's what I'm trying to get everyone to understand. I brought a Bible study last night. As a matter of fact, that's what I'm going to do. Let me reach and get this. I brought a Bible study last night. Is it this one? And yeah, I think this is the one. Yeah. And I had not, this Bible study was originally presented to the church that I pastored in the month of July in the year 1988. Now, what I'm going to do is share with you a little bit on this very special webcast before my crew gets here tonight, because I haven't been talking to you enough the way I should and the way I want to. And I'm going to take you over this Bible study. It was called The Doctrine of Satan and His Demons. And like I said, I first presented this Bible study in July of 1988. And I started off with two scriptures. And I want to give you the scriptures that I started off with, and I want you to follow along with me. So grab your Bibles, because I want to lay this premise, first of all, that if you are a believer, and let me tell you something. The reason that I'm bringing this Bible study to you is because something happened after the Bible study last night. The students of the Bible study they were pouring out, and they were in front of my house like they do every Wednesday night. They like to stand around and have a conversation and talk. So while they're conversing and talking with each other, I saw my neighbor, who is an Hispanic guy, young man, I guess in his maybe mid-20s or early 30s, I'm not sure. But he said, I said, "Hey, neighbor," and he said, "Hello, pastor." And he said, "I hope you had a good lecture, because I listen." And I said to myself, did I hear him right? What do you mean you listen? And I walked over to him and shook his hand and said, "Did you say that you listen?" He says, "Yes, I was in the backyard and I was listening to every word that you said." And then let me tell you guys something. I looked in this guy's eyes. And I saw it again. Another person reaching out for God. Have you ever looked in the eyes of your neighbors? But there's something special and unique about that one neighbor. When I first met him and I was talking with him, people, you don't have to go witnessing to anybody. You don't have to do that. It is the message of God's word that draws. This was one of the most difficult Bible studies that any Christian had a difficulty listening to, because if he listened in, he heard a lot of the people in there saying, "Oh, John, that can't be true." And I just said, "Well, let's just look and see what the Bible says." I said, this Bible study, and I picked it up in a notebook where I have hundreds of Bible studies here that I did when I typed them. And this Bible study was typed on a typewriter. That's before I even had a computer. I let you know how old this Bible study is. But I want to read this verse of scripture to you. Psalms chapter 34, verse 7. And, well, anyhow, my heart was blessed. And I invited the young man. I said, anytime on Wednesday, you can come by, man, and sit in the Bible study. You don't have to listen from that side of the fence. And it was just like when the other people that were in the house before the Hispanics moved in, the Brits were living next door to me. And when she came by for a birthday party or something on the street to bring her daughter, she told me, she said, my husband and I listened to you practically every night when you did your webcast. We heard every word you said because my studio or my study window was open. And of course, in the backyard, it's summertime, and our backyards kiss each other. It's just a chain link fence there. But I thought that to be marvelous that that young man was listening to every word that I stated. I started off with Psalms chapter 34, verse 7, which says, the angel of the Lord encamp around about those who fear him and rescues them. I started off with that verse of scripture and I said, do you guys hear what this verse is saying? This verse is saying is that God has an angelic host that protects Christians from terrible times. An angel of the Lord encamps around about those who fear God. Now, if you don't fear God, and this fear doesn't mean to be afraid of him, it holds the idea of reverential fear. I revere God. I revere God so much, I will not do, say, or live in any way that brings shame and displeasure to his name. That's what reverential fear is. And God is saying in his blessed word that there is an angel that encamps around about those of us that has this kind of fear for God. Now, when you go to Psalms chapter 27, verse 3, it reads similar. It says, though a host encamp against me, my heart will not fear. Though war arise against me, in spite of this, I shall be confident. You know, I find it extraordinary that when I listen to, I call it secular Christian radio, I'm really surprised. I hear all these folk talking about, you know, giving Bible studies to the people that's been sitting in their ministries and churches for years, giving Bible study on not losing heart, on keeping the faith. I had someone in my family recently email me and said, pray for me because I may lose my job. And I didn't write them back. Why? The only thing that I pray is what verse 3 says. In spite of this, I shall be confident. In other words, when war comes against you, when your job loss comes against you, why can't you stand confident? Confident in that which you have learned and studied and obeyed. The reason that we cannot be confident in that is simply because we have not really ever trusted in God. Oh, the power of electronics. I just checked the new video. For those of you, you probably know by now, but video number 3 is up. I think that'll be the concluding series in Revelation, Church in the Home. We'll be showing more of Pastor Sean from time to time. I got other new stuff that I want to put up, and so I'm going to put it up piecemeal. Let me give you some more that I was talking about in that Bible study last night. If you accept the scriptures as God's revelation, then the existence of Satan cannot be denied in any way. We have a lot of people in Christian churches today, or they call themselves Christian churches today. I guess they're intimidated by the Larry King types. You know, they go on Larry King and act like Joel Osteen. Well, you know, I don't get into that because I'm trying to, you know, make it a little bit easier to swallow and stuff like that. No, 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 no. What you're doing is you're aligning yourself with the societal remedy instead of aligning yourself